Good afternoon, this is Gary Kavanagh here on the right side. I'm here today with my friend and colleague Michael Dwyer. Here are the stories we have for you today. Sinn Féin have engaged in a series of public rallies. The response about these rallies has been, shall we say, a little bit overblown. I think I heard one person who is nominally serious refer to them as akin to the Nuremberg rallies, which I think, firstly, really overamps the visual spectacle of a public meeting in Ireland. Secondly, we have Harris's advice that the IRFU cancel the Ireland v Italy rugby match that was planned. Unfortunately, Harris, in a standard Simon Harris move, announced it before talking to the IRFU, which they seem to be taking poorly. And then we also have a little bit on the government formation, which is pretty much going as everyone expected. A lot of heat, very little light. So on the public rallies.
Well, now, the first thing to observe is that there's been a change in language here. When this started first, they were rallies. They are now public meetings. And that is a change that has come, I believe, from Sinn Féin themselves. So the choice of language, I would say, was initially unfortunate. Now, Nuremberg, no, not Nuremberg. They don't have a Leni Riefenstahl in, well, as far as I know, they don't have Leni Riefenstahl in to design their rallies for them and to create these magnificent, monstrous spectacles. They don't have enough uniforms to go around or flaming torches.
They probably don't even have enough power, you know, highly powered spotlights.
Probably. I mean, I'm not sure if there are enough highly powered spotlights in the country. Even the Healy race. Now, it's very easy for us, of course, to be snide and amused and dismissive of all of this language. But I was in a room over the weekend they weren't saying Nuremberg, but there was a genuine concern, a real worry, which was being expressed in different kinds of ways, about the prospect of Sinn Féin in power. That there are people in the country, and I think this is a manifestation of that unease, that anxiety, that for many people, older people, people like me, not people like you, who don't think that Sinn Féin is a normal political party, who don't think that everybody in Sinn Féin really fully has that kind of basic reflexive instinctual understanding that in a democracy you can go so far but not further than this, you can do this but you can't do that, that they're where the boundaries are. They don't feel that this is a party that necessarily really respects what the Republic. I mean, as Micheál Martin has been saying, and maybe people say it's all politics, but I think that he may even believe it. You know, these are people that until very recently, and not all of them yet, they don't recognise the Republic. They broke the Free State, remember? They don't recognise the courts. They have, at the very least, some connection with the Army Council, which is an anonymous thing happening. There are people who are genuinely worried about this. And that's not, listen, without getting into the details of the economic policies, you know, that might or might not bring us down to Venezuelan experiences. There are people genuinely worried about this, and they think that if you look through history, that we've had an election. Why are we having rallies, now public meetings? What's the purpose of this? It's to drive, I suppose, it's to manage the news, it's to drive the news agenda, it's to create a sense of activity, of desire, but it's not something that we've ever seen before, and therefore people are uncomfortable with it. And it is, I mean, I'm just saying, as a matter of fact, it is actually very similar to a tactic that was adopted initially in the early 20s after elections. I'll leave it at that. Not in Germany, not around Nuremberg, but there were other places where precisely this kind of thing was done by parties that had won fair amounts of seats, but not actually anywhere near a majority. So, now, having said all of that, it would be kind of fun to see something really magnificent and dark and brooding, wouldn't it?
It would certainly be different in Irish. Yeah. We can get an Irish version of Triumph of the Will.
I cannot imagine. I genuinely have no notion what an Irish version of Triumph of the Will would look like.
I don't think we have the architecture for it.
No, I don't think we have anything. Would it involve Michael Flatley? That's what I have a suspicion it would involve Michael Flatley.
Do you remember Enda saying that every time he saw Riverdance, he cried?
Well, he's only flesh and blood. He's only human. I mean, God, I was away when Riverdance came out, and all these people kept on telling me that there'd been this dancing at the Eurovision, you know? I thought, oh, right, dancing at the Eurovision, how wonderful. Oh, it was fabulous, fabulous dancing at the Eurovision. And then I saw it, and I have to say, I mean, it is a very, very fine and dramatic piece of production. It's a wonderful thing. But maybe, as I say, maybe Michael Flatley would be our Lohengrin or our Siegfried. You know, we don't have a Wagner, really, do we? You know, Luke Kelly singing the Wagner. We don't have that. Maybe it's mountains. Maybe you need bigger mountains than we have, or bigger forests. We don't have any big forests anymore. They used to have lots of forests, and we weren't like that. But
no.
Why are they doing it, Gary? What is the... Okay, leaving aside Nuremberg, why are they doing it?
It's a great political thing to do.
But is it?
I think it is, yes. I mean, okay, so let's say we're going to have another election soon, on that assumption. The political parties and people who do things with political parties, they tend to lag over time. You always want to keep them involved, sure. Keep them doing stuff.
Yeah.
So holding a series of events like this, in an interim where there's nothing really to do and there's no other political news, mm-hmm. ensures you'll get in the news, gives people who are interested in you something to do. And I think in this instance, because their vote has gone up so much, it would give voters who don't really agree with a lot of Sinn Féin things, but maybe voted for them out of a sense that something needed to change,
yeah.
a chance to actually see the party, and then you put forward Pearse Doherty, and he's very reasonable, yes. and he's very much, we can fix the problems of this state. Mm-hmm. And you might be able to attach those people slightly more strongly to the party. Also, it's never people like winners.
True.
And it's never a bad thing to be able to go, we literally filled the building the public meeting was in. There were people standing out in the streets.
Yeah.
So, I mean, from that perspective, it's pretty solid.
If they're going to do it, they have to make absolutely certain that every room they fill, every room they take is full.
Mm.
There can be no empty seats.
I think they've also been deeply helped by the reaction to it. I mean, yeah, we had a government minister say that there was something reminiscent of Nuremberg rallies about the entire process. Any party will hold public meetings. So if it makes the other criticisms of Sinn Féin look more hysterical.
And that's the problem, actually, with the Nuremberg thing. You can have issues with and express them about the notion of holding elections after. You can have those reservations. I think it's the problem there is that explaining them takes too long. And by the time you got to you've finished your explanation, even if it's reasonable, nobody's paying attention. But when you start to say Nuremberg, okay, it's sort of a subversion of some incorrect version of Goodwin's Law, but anything that mentions the Nazis inevitably is a devaluing comment. And we have seen that we seem to be getting into a bit of a moment where excessive and tired use of language is starting to fail. Words are being emptied of their potency. Look at the experience both of Noel Grealish and of Verona Murphy. The language, you know, the old thing of hurling the racist epithet has not worked. Just didn't work. Because I think that's one of the reasons, because it's being emptied of its potency by its constant overuse. And you're absolutely right, one of the problems with this is by ramping the language up so high in this case, you're going to make your other criticisms and observations of the terrible, awful, nightmaric, apocalyptic scenario of a Sinn Féin government far less impactful, credible.
Yeah, I mean, if you go, there are issues with Sinn Féin, such as the Sinn Féin constitution not really recognising the Irish state as it exists as a legitimate thing. That's an issue. Or you can say, well, there are issues with some of the people involved in the Army Council. But then each step becomes slightly more divorced from the people you're talking to. And then you suddenly start talking about Nuremberg and you're like, what?
Yeah, that's where did that come from? Now, just as the, I don't know, it's the phrase, intercalastically, parenthetically, I think that finally, and may well be wrong, that Micheál Martin is doing something right. I think that the way he's engaging with Sinn Féin and talking about Sinn Féin, he's getting the tone exactly right. He's very low-key. It's very much more in sorrow than in anger. He's very careful that it's not personalised. But he's just relentless. He's repeating and repeating and repeating the concerns, the kind of concerns you just adverted to there. Now, for this to work for him, I think we need to see a process. This is not even of weeks, but of months, because this is going to take time. This is going to be one of those gentle mantras that has to be repeated and repeated and repeated. But I just have a feeling, and maybe completely off the wall, that if to counteract the powerful voodoo, the strong juju that Sinn Féin seem to have at the moment, that this is the more effective way to go. And this is going to be more ultimately more credible with the voter than the super over-the-top hysterical terrified reaction. And he does it quite well, doesn't he, Micheál? The furrowed brow, the worried look, the drop in the voice, the slight catch. And he'll need time, but I think he'll have time. And he may be onto something here. But we shall see. The government formation goes on. The Times today says Fine Gael.
It does. Fine Gael in the Irish Times today. Varadkar declines to negotiate with Fianna Fáil, informing government.
I talked to a couple of people about this, and I think the sense is that right now Fine Gael can do that. And it seems like an obvious and comfortable place for Fine Gael. No, listen, we lost. We're going to go into opposition because that's what they want. They want, ideally speaking for them, the perfect scenarios, them in opposition and Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin in government.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's the obvious thing. But my concern here is, if there's a second election and your entire thing from the election is, we will go into opposition, and Fianna Fáil comes out and says, it's either us or Sinn Féin, why would you vote for Fine Gael? They've said they don't want to go into government. And they are correct, and government would be a terrible place for them. But there's a difference between needing to go into opposition and being vocally and publicly seen as total opposition to government.
They're going to have to finesse this. I was saying to you before, I was talking to former Senator Jordan Walsh last night about the Fianna Fáil perspective on this. Particularly James Bond, because Jimmy wouldn't be that, I don't think, that happy with Micheál's position. And Micheál's handling of a number of things is that, and very much of the opinion that what they have to force Fine Gael, and this is going to be thing. It's both the journalists sometimes have short memories. It's okay for Fine Gael now not to want to go on government, but we have no sense of what the public mood might be in 2 months' time, and there's a perfectly decent chance that we will still be pretty well where we are. Certainly in a month or even 2 months' time. At that point, whether or not Fine Gael will look like they're simply being calm and accepting it, or whether that will suddenly start looking like sulky intransigence, what Fianna Fáil have to do, which, from Jim Walsh's perspective, I think he's right, is make Fine Gael publicly refuse power, refuse the responsibility of going to government, either going to government with just a straight-up coalition, or, say, if Fianna Fáil were to manage to cobble together some kind of weird architecture with themselves, the Suk Dems, 17 of the 21 independents, and then a supply agreement of the same kind that Fianna Fáil had with them for a limited period of time. The other point he made, and I don't know what you think about this, Gary, he said that there was a belief after the exit polls and things that what Fine Gael had done for the last few days, where they harped on this thing, vote for us, or you'll get Sinn Féin. You know, don't vote for Fianna Fáil, vote for us. We'll never go in. Actually was effective. But this is the problem for them now, when people say, oh, well, they can't do worse. Now that Fianna Fáil seem to have established this principle that they won't actually go in with Sinn Féin, that those votes may migrate back to Fianna Fáil.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. The exit polling, Yes, I've heard the Fine Gaelers say that based on the exit polling, it looks like it worked. But if you look at the actual vote results,
yeah,
you don't see any evidence of it working. But let's assume it did work, because they believe it did. You convince people to peel off from Fianna Fáil to you on the basis that you will keep out Sinn Féin. It then goes through the election, and you publicly rebuke any attempt of Fianna Fáil to meet with you in order to create a coalition to keep out Sinn Féin.
Yeah.
What is the chance that those voters, assuming there are any of them, who went over to you in order to keep out Fianna Fáil, now feel that you have lied to them? Because you are now actively refusing to do what you said you would do, which is keep Sinn Féin out.
Mm-hmm.
And you very clearly appear to be pushing for a Fianna Fáil Sinn Féin government, which, you know, at that time, a lot of the Fine Gaelers were saying was a terrible option and had to be stopped at all points. They said that you couldn't vote for Fianna Fáil because then they would go in with Sinn Féin. And now you seem to be seeking to actually create that situation.
That's one of the weird things, I'm sure you've noticed it's going on, that Fianna Fáil is being slightly rescued out of what, in the immediate aftermath, I said to you, I thought they were in a horrible situation, by the fact that everybody is saying simultaneously, Fianna Fáil must never go into government, and Fianna Fáil have to go into government. You know, there's on one hand that it would be the absolute disaster and the people have rejected Fianna Fáil and it's time for change. And on the other hand, but they must talk to us and we must form a government. They have a duty. They can't. And this rather odd dissonance is starting to come through. And Fianna Fáil are sort of standing there with their hands up going, lads, come on. What are we supposed to do? It's not fair.
I mean, I think in many ways it's a really good play by Fianna Fáil, or a really bad play by Fine Gael.
And Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin is doing the same thing.
Oh, well, Sinn Féin have basically said to you, we're going to start getting more membership. We're going to go to these rallies. We're going to try and recruit people. We're going to actually make some use of this time when every other party seems to have stood down. Kind of reminds me of Bertie Ahern. You know the stories of Bertie Ahern just canvassing like the week after he has been elected Taoiseach?
Yeah.
Kind of strikes me a little bit of that, of like, no, we're just going to keep campaigning. And if there's another election, we're just going to go right into it.
Yes.
But yeah, it's even if the parties, even if going into coalition is a total non-runner to the parties, to the membership, you'd never get it through, which I think if you packaged it correctly, you might. By Leo simply saying, well, I'm not going to talk to you about that at all, it gives Martin a lot of space to present himself as, well, look, we were willing to consider all options to keep Sinn Féin out, and they just walked away.
Also, if you're Leo, why wouldn't you just do what one of the parties did and say, yeah, we'll talk to you. We won't talk about forming a coalition because we're not going to do that, but we're certainly willing to talk. Talk. I think it's just it's a bad thing, and it's a Leo-y, it's a kind of Leo thing. You know that thing where he goes for this absolute position, bang, because he thinks this is the strong position? And make rather, you know, the decisive leader position rather than just being the slightly odd position.
It could also be that he is willing to engage because they are talking, but they're just refusing to negotiate. It could be that,
Sorry. Sorry. Okay, yes. Fine. Sorry. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I don't have time to acclimatise to the humour of that statement. It could be that he just wants more time. He wants longer of Sinn Féin just being slammed in the media before he can go do the whole, well, I didn't want to, but I had to.
Yeah, but the other thing is, what they may be doing, regarding the thing is, so far they haven't found what it is, but eventually they will find something that works with Sinn Féin. They'll find something that they haven't tried that they'll go and they'll start and that's getting traction. The people don't like that, whatever it is. Back in the Gilmore for Taoiseach days, it was in 2011, was that Gilmore for Taoiseach? When Labour crashed and burned during the election, and then it was looking like there was going to be a Fine Gael overall majority. For the last 7-10 days or so, Labour just got everything out and just threw everything at the wall. And then they happened on, I think it was, probably the best way, public service pay. And that stuck. They got traction on that. And they kept going and kept going. And that's what saved their bacon. And that's why they ended up in government. So eventually, if you keep throwing stuff, you'll find something. But time is going to be an issue. And they are. This is going to keep going. I mean, we have, if nothing else, Micheál Martin yesterday basically said, and here we're the 26th of February, so that, you know, the present caretaker government would be in charge of the various Patrick's Day, Patrick's Week events. So we're now into the 23rd, 24th of March, before, and he's assuming that that's when stuff is going to start happening back again. He's already, in a sense, kicked it a month down the road.
Speaking of things that may work against Sinn Féin, did you see the news about Rita Cronin, the Sinn Féin TD, and the million-euro house that didn't quite have the appropriate planning permission?
You know what? Maybe, is it possible that she's actually a deliberate creation by Sinn Féin? So they got everything that's possibly bad and problematic in a TD, and they put them all in one TD. And then she's a bit like this. She is essentially the lightning rod for the Sinn Féin Parliamentary Party.
Yeah, that's dangerous, because then you can have someone who becomes emblematic of your party. My favourite part about that was she asked Charlie Flanagan to help her out and to solve the planning issue. But my favourite part is that the four stables, and I can't remember who said it, but someone I was talking to said, well, Gary, I mean, it's not a revolution if there's not dressage, is there?
A dressage horse for everybody in the family. But it was Charlie Flanagan, but it wasn't Flanagan that, actually, it was a Fianna Fáil minister she ended up getting help from, wasn't it? Was it McCreevy? She's Kildare, so McCreevy would be the local guy. Anyway, my favourite one of hers was actually, I think it was you, tweeted out retweets of hers of Gemma Doherty.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Big fan of Gemma's.
Big fan of Gemma until Gemma went against Sinn Féin.
Yeah.
Yes, good one. Just quickly to wrap up, this IRFU thing.
Yeah, Gary.
Whatever about whether or not it's right to do.
Yeah, are we all going to die?
I don't know. I know. I know very little about this particular coronavirus, the COVID-19.
I think you're getting lots of tins of tomatoes, tins of beans, and lots of spaghetti just staying indoors. Would that save me?
I actually don't know how it spreads. I know. I think they're talking about droplets and direct contact.
Shaking hands. I don't know if it's shaking hands. Very bad. Very, very bad.
I don't know if there's an aerosol component. I don't know if it spreads through the air.
Kissing.
Don't rightly know.
No kissing.
It seems to be spreading at a rate now that would indicate it will go into the full pandemic mode. It is spreading with an incredible speed.
Was SARS a pandemic?
No, I don't believe so.
Was chicken flu, was that a pandemic?
No, I don't believe so either.
Because we're importing Italians now, you know. I'm getting a bit worried. The school in my little town here is importing a bunch of young Italians from Tuscany next week. And I don't know if this is the sensible thing to do. I mean, Mr. Harris certainly has problems with Italians and with people going out there. Ireland are supposed to go out to play Italy next Saturday, are they? Anyway, the next weekend, playing the rugby. And the minute... Had he told the IRFU anything before he made the statement?
Apparently not, because they put out this statement which just sort of went, we can't really comment about that, but we'd love to meet the minister. And now he said, I think he's meeting them tomorrow. But he's done this. My personal favourite was during the abortion referendum, when he came out with news that certain abortion services would be available in GPs, like abortion pills.
Yes.
And the response from the GPs union was just a sort of...
What now?
Sorry, what now? Yeah.
Was that... I can't remember that it was... One of the issues there was, isn't it that irrespective of the fact that it's a non-surgical abortion, they would still have to be able to both perform and read scans, wouldn't they? And that was...
I cannot even remember what the issues were.
I think that 10% of GPs had scans and 25% couldn't read them. And he just blithely said this. And the GPs are so good. There was almost a sense that you could... At one of the press conferences, the GPs looking at each other going, did somebody say something that we didn't know? Mary, did you tell him something? No, I didn't talk to him. John, were you talking? No. There's this sense of bizarre, of complete confusion. Where the hell did he come out with that from? Because now everybody is looking to the GP saying, so you're going to do this? We haven't really. But he does this all the time.
He's done this multiple times, and he never mentions it to the groups involved. And there's it always reflects badly on him.
Yeah.
Because every time it happens, the group goes, what? And then complains about Simon Harris. But then again, he got re-elected, so...
Yeah, the people of Wicklow. By God, actually, Fine Gael, Wicklow was one of their best results. I was looking at the numbers and changes on this time, last time, and all that. Well, Wicklow was not bad, and Simon did well. And so the wise and wonderful voters of Wicklow decided to re-inflict Simon. What can we do to him now? He can do what he likes. He's never going to be Minister for Health again. I think we can say that with confidence. Whatever.
I mean, it would be very funny if we end up with a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael government and he ends up in health again.
Oh, he couldn't.
I saw a photo of him. Because during the referendum, during the last election, his election posters looked like he was an Instagram model and they had been run through every filter known to man. His face was just perfectly smooth. But I saw a photo of him, a recent photo of him.
Yeah.
And he's not looking good.
No, he does not look. I think I said to you, it's a bit like, you know, those Abraham Lincoln photos where Lincoln at the beginning of his presidency famously aged horrendously. He has aged like no other politician. He's only, what age is he? 36 or 37 something? He's not 40.
He's not that old.
I mean, I look at Donald. I mean, Donald is the only person. Donald has got younger as president. Trump has actually reversed the normal process. I think Trump looks better now than he did when he started running.
I think he does too, yeah.
Which is weird.
It's a bizarre thing. Really, but anyway, I think that we'll
leave that.
Close it on that.
We'll be back at the weekend.
Presumably the rugby match will now be cancelled. Although the IRFU are asking for basically reasons why it should be cancelled, which on one hand sounds ridiculous, but on the other hand, given the amount of travel between Italy and Ireland on a normal day, I can kind of see their point. I mean, if there's a general ban on all public things, that's one thing, but...
I can tell you, something happened just the other day which made me... You know, it's when these things are happening far away in certain China's already, so that made me think, oh... Things must be getting pretty bad. Friends of mine run a very successful cocktail bar in Milan, and it's regularly features, you know, top 10 spots to drink in when visiting Milan, kind of thing. And I saw a Facebook post 3 days ago saying, "Dear folks, we're not really sure what the story is, but in the light of the situation, we're closing, and we're going to stay closed until we have better information on what we should be doing." And Gary, I can tell you, Milan is a drinking town. It's a cocktail town. You'd like Milan, I think. It's a cocktail town. Even men, hairy men, drink cocktails. And if they're closing cocktail bars, things are getting serious. So anyway, on that note, we will be back at the weekend. Have a good week. Enjoy the brisk cold weather. Hopefully we won't get snowed in. But for the time being,
all the best.